Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The critics have spoken.
It's as if you took a float from a Macy's Day Parade and you beheaded them, and it's two clowns.
Jones and Mako.
One looks extremely upset and the other one looks intrigued.
On WEEI.
Goes down. Heinen to Marjan. He scores 28 seconds. How's that for an answer?
How's that for your captain with the answer?
Where's Brad Marchand?
Is that Ryan?
It's a little bit of Ryan.
Yeah, it was right until it happened.
I mean, look, there is a general sense of that out there.
We'll just omit the fact that he absolutely tripped Tyler Bertuzzi to free up.
Oh.
I think it was Heinrich.
Why? I like that.
What are you, the Maple Leafs coach over there? We'll get to that coming up.
But where's Marchand?
I stand with Keith. Rich, Sheldon.
All the Keefs.
All the Keefs.
All the Keefs.
I stand for Keith.
Adam Keefe. Remember Adam Keefe Arkans?
No, but I would stick with that guy, too.
Ooh, what about Keith from Righteous Gemstones?
That's
a good Keith.
That's a good Keith.
For Sutherland.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, that counts.
24. I mean, come on. It's right on.
Adam Keefe played for the Jazz, right?
I want to say the Jazz and the Hawks. Can someone fact check me on this? I feel like I had some Adam Keefe basketball cards growing up.
Adam Keefe.
Jazz
played for the Hawks, the Jazz, and the Warriors.
Okay, Warriors I didn't know, but thank you very much.
Then he played in Spain. Anything else you want to know about Adam?
That's really more than I
start this
more than I bargained for.
This is Hockey Talk.
Brad Marchand, his two goals move him into a first place tie with Cam Neely on the Bruins' all-time playoff goals leaderboard with 55. That's pretty good. He moved past Neely for the most game-winning playoff goals in team history with 12. Marchand also moved past his old line mate Patrice Bergeron for the second most playoff assists
in Bruins history.
I know. He's super
coolest.
The Bruins so miss Bergeron, and he so misses Patrice Bergeron. People are so right about that.
May I interject here for a
second? Even at age 35, Marchand remains fully capable of putting the Bruins on his back and carrying them to playoff victories. I'm reading from Nick Goss. He's tallied 26 points in his last 15 postseason games. A lot of those without Bergeron. Marchand made his playoff debut in 2011. Only one player since then, Nikita Kucherov. That's a heart winner. Has posted more playoff points than Marchand, 134, during that span. Yes, Mego.
Okay, so yesterday after the game, it was after the game, because Mr. Hu and I were in separate rooms. He was watching Bruins, I was watching Celtics.
Yeah,
so
you were in the bathroom. Yeah.
And then we put the Bruins on the big TV, and he came in, and then immediately after he looks at his phone, and he says, Jones is doing dumb S on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I said, what is that? And he said, he's trying to make this a Bergeron take about Marchand. And I was like, it hurts my feelings that you clearly never listen to our show. you're trying to dunk on Jones and you're exposing yourself as never listening to the program.
Look, all I know, Ryan pointed this out the other day and it's fair. Marchand had not shown up the first two games. Fair. Completely invisible. But last night, 3-point game and monstrous. And look, one's an empty netter, but the other's the game winner.
Yeah, it took him a little while to get to that empty
I'll
netter.
Even credit the that was not the easiest empty
Look,
netter to get. We'll
whatever
for that.
All I know.
Big QA2, empty net or Linus Olmark?
Yeah, it was fair to howl about Marchand the other day. It was fair. But now he showed up. So what do you say now? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We have all your draft thoughts with the draft about 2 hours and 30 minutes away. We also have Celtics calls hanging on the line. Meanwhile, I know what they're saying in Toronto. I know. Because he got inside Tyler Bertuzzi's head, just like the Heat got inside the Celtics' head, rattled their cages. It's why I don't think it's about scheme. I think it's about effort and all these other intangibles with the Celtics, not their scheme. Same thing with the Bruins and the Maple Leafs last night. Bertuzzi lost his mind on the ice, maybe fairly so. The refs probably missed something. Marchand's being Marchand, which is why I love him. And you hear the coach after the game crying. Let me hear Sheldon Keefe.
Impact of Brad Marchand tonight, whether it's on the score sheet or off the score sheet as well, just getting under guys' skin. What do you do to contain him going forward?
Well, you got to play through it. You got to recognize, you know, he's a world-class player, both in ability and in how he plays. I mean, the gamesmanship and everything, it's world-class. And he's been in the league long enough, as you can see. He gets calls. It's unbelievable, actually, how it goes, you know. We got to play through that. You got to play through that stuff. I don't think there's another player in this series that gets away with taking out Bertuzzi's legs the way that he does. There's not one other player in the series that gets away with that, but he does. Because, it's an art, and he's elite at it. So we have to manage our way through that, avoid putting ourselves in situations
like Rembrandt,
where he can put us in those spots. And then as far as this game, I think we've managed that pretty well for the most part. Obviously tonight we make a mistake at a key time that allows him to get the winner.
Okay. So we all know what he's doing, right? He's trying to trying to lobby the refs for the next game, except the Twitch chat is right. They had more power play. They had five power plays last night. They were 0-for-5. So, like, you did get the calls last
night.
Should
have been 0-for-6.
They missed a call on Marsh. I agree. They missed a call on Marsh and fine. They missed one. That happens. I'd say the same thing when Bruins fans cry about, oh, Toronto had so many power. Like, what Jack and Brick were doing last night was embarrassing on the broadcast. Oh, there's so many calls. Oh, when's it ever going to level out? Jack was like, it's 9-on-4 at one point. Is what he said. So, like, I'd say the same thing.
Wait, so you were annoyed that he was a little hyperbolic?
No, I would say the same thing to Sheldon Keefe that I would say to Jack Edwards or any Bruins fan. It's like, all right, the refs missed some calls. That happens. They'll all level out if you just chill out. You got the calls last night, and you're crying about one extra missed call. It'll all level out. So guess what? You probably got too many calls. They missed one on Marchand. It's all even at the end of the day. He's clearly lobbying the officials for the next game. But Marchand's already done it. He's already in their heads, which is beautiful.
I agree. I get what he's trying to do and the game that he's trying to play, and coaches do it all the time. But it really just makes him look weak. It makes him look like a word that I can't say on the radio. And he's, like, sitting up there crying about Marchand.
Try it.
Meow, meow. That's what it sounds like to me. It's like, grow up. Oh, Brad Marchand, Marchand Angelo. Like, it's an art. Like, he's an artist of being a creep on the ice.
Marchand Angelo.
It's so dumb. Get over it. You sound like a baby. You sound like a meow meow.
Not to mention the fact that Marchand didn't draw any penalties. Like, it's not like he's out there getting all these calls. They didn't call a penalty on
him. Yeah, true.
But he's like, oh, he gets all these calls. He didn't get one call. Nothing happened. He didn't draw a penalty.
I do know what he meant. It was the absence of a call there, but I get it. Him saying he's getting calls technically is not accurate.
He didn't actually get any calls. They didn't call something on him, but that's different from saying he's getting all the calls. He's getting the superstar treatment.
This is a good point, too. Like, Bertuzzi is on your team. Okay? Like, let's not pretend like everybody is playing a finesse game
he's
out there.
He's a saint.
I thought Bertuzzi, and I just read the comment, we don't have it pulled or anything, but I thought Bertuzzi mostly answered it straight up. He's like, he's a great player. You know, it's physical out there, and, you know, we'll get him next game.
Bertuzzi
like
got one of their penalties at the end of the second. So, I mean, you know, that's the game. It was a little uneven, I thought, against the Bruins, but even still, not enough that you'd make some big deal about it. And for him to be crying about it was ridiculous.
Real quick, can I hear Swayman on his performance last night? Swayman was great again. I would say one real goal against. If we get to do this with Olmark, I'm going to do this with Swayman too. All the Olmark people do this. Lindholm kicked in the other one. It's good to see Lindholm finally score in the postseason. He kicks him one off his back skate. It's not his fault, right? He's engaged with, I think it was Bertuzzi, on that goal. And so he kicks one into the net. He finally scores. But Swayman was great again last night. Five power plays. Toronto couldn't score. Here's his answer or his quick exchange after the game.
Anytime I get a chance to play, I'm going to do whatever I can to help this team win, whether it's back-to-back or every other game. I'm just really grateful every time I do get a chance, and that's all I worry about.
How good do you feel with your game right now?
I'm excited. I think it's something that all the experience from this year and past years have accumulated, but I still got a lot more to learn, that's for sure, and I'm looking forward to that.
Is the extra rest beneficial, like the fact you had games go off?
I think, you know, for me personally, I don't want rest. I just want to keep playing. I think no matter when I get the call, whether, again, it's back-to-back or every other game, I want to make sure my body's ready and I'm ready to perform at my best.
Do you feel like you've done enough to earn a second straight start?
Never. I'm never going to expect anything. I'm going to earn it, so that's all I care about.
Can I tell you that's such a better answer? Ryan, you said this earlier today.
Yes.
What did you say about listening to Swayman compared to Ullmark? It's the first time you like heard a goalie and you're like, that's how I want him to sound, something like that.
When you contrast it directly with Linus Ullmark and his post game in game two, going, no, you know, I don't want to really expect anything.
Well, we all deserve the same amount of games.
This was goaltender capitalism as opposed to the goaltender communism that Linus Ullmark has been preaching all along.
Bingo.
And even though I think you should have stuck with your rotation because it's how you got here, that's what I want my goaltender to talk like. I don't want to rest. I just want to make sure I'm good. Get me in there and let me keep playing because I think we're going to win is basically what he's saying.
Okay. What are they doing in game four, Mego?
I think they're going to go back to the rotation. Ugh. I want to be on the record. I jumped the ship. I don't think they should. I think you have to stick with Swayman.
You didn't
after
want him in game two, right?
He had last night.
You said you didn't want him in game two,
Ullmark.
Right?
Ullmark.
But I wanted Ullmark to start. Like, at this point, I just, after seeing the two, I don't know. Like, I try to look at it as, okay, what are you doing long term? Can Swayman play long term? Can he last past this series? If you go another series, if you go another series after that, he's never been given the opportunity, so you don't really know what he has. But you're living day to day at this point in this series, and I think you just go with Swayman. It's so clear to me in this particular matchup against Toronto.
Arkan.
I would rather the Patriots draft a long snapper third overall tonight than see Linus Ullmark again in this series. I'm not kidding. Unless, you know, Swayman gets hurt or something. I don't want to see anybody but Jeremy Swayman again for the rest of the series. The Leafs are terrified of Swayman. They're scared of him. They're not scared of Linus Ullmark.
We said Marchand's in their head, so is Swayman.
Yes.
They're both 100%. In their
heads, yeah. And it wasn't even his best game yesterday, and it was still better than any game Ullmark's had against them this year, goals-wise. You know, he let in two. That's the most he's ever let in against them, and they still won the game. 5-0, and he's completely got them rattled. And if you go away from that, I think you're just stupid.
Okay. Look, I think, what do you think they're doing, though?
I think they have to go with Swayman.
Okay, me too.
I think they have to, but I don't know. I mean,
we'd all start
Swayman.
They
love this stupid rotation.
We'd all start Swayman. I think they're starting Swayman. I think the extra day gives them the out. The extra day gives them the out to do
it.
Good
point. Yeah.
I would do it either way, but there's no game tomorrow. They don't play again until Saturday. I would do it either way.
Which is stupid, by the way. I hate these doubling up.
What do you mean? Oh, just having the back-to-back days off.
The Celtics and the Bruins on the same night.
Yeah. And
it's driving me nuts.
And Messi against the Revs. It's going to be a big night. 617. I'm sure the Fun Sox play, too. 617-779.
They already played.
They're so fun these days.
793. 14 and 12. Don't make me do the math. When it comes to what we want them to do tonight, Arkan said he'd rather have a long snapper than sitting down Jeremy Swayman. We have full Patriots coverage tonight of what they're going to do. Keith, Fitzy, Hart, Scheim, they'll be breaking down the pick and reacting to it. I think we have extended coverage after Keefe as well. I think John Lyons is on tonight, if I'm not mistaken. So plenty of ways to get in, react to the pick. I do think with the latest buzz on the Patriots, I'm still flummoxed at why it's out there. And I've come up with two theories as to why the reporting in the last couple of days, really this week, has shifted to they love Drake May, right? Russini and Chad Graff wrote yesterday, you missed it, Mego, but they wrote this yesterday that the Patriots really love Drake May, and it's crystallized, and he would fit with Van Pelt's offense, and Mayo likes his toughness, and Elliot Wolf, he checks all these boxes, and ownership would sign off, and blah, blah, blah. I think why that's changed in the last week, I would think, is because they're going to take Drake May. But at the same time, that door is open. Why? And I think it's either just to hold Washington to whatever they're doing it to. It sounds like Jaden Daniels. We'll find out tonight. The only other theory I can come up with is Elliot Wolf's little protest. Elliot Wolf's little protest that this isn't his guy, and it's his way of letting you know ownership is making the pick. And I do think ownership's making the pick. We'll play Tommy Curran coming up from NBC Sports Boston. I know he disagrees. Maybe that's his little way of you know, making you know or letting people know that he doesn't like the pick. He's not signing off on it. Otherwise, I don't get why they keep saying, it's Drake May. We love Drake May. They're clearly putting it out to all the local beat writers. Drake May is the guy. They're obviously doing that. But they're also leaving the door open. Why? I don't get why.
So to the first thing that you said about Elliott Wolf trying to, like, take his handprints off of this pick and say that it's ownership, I feel like you're on the right track, but it's not necessarily about ownership. It's that maybe he is stuck in this collaborative approach because he doesn't have the GM title or contract, and he knows what ownership wants, but he's also standing in a room full of people who maybe, like, everybody except for one other person likes Drake May, and they like Drake May, and he feels like he's outnumbered, as he told us. He's not a crazy person, so if the majority is going that way, and by the way, he's director of scouting, he's not general manager, then he's going to turn and say, okay, fine, Drake May, but I'm leaving the door open, and I'm going to give myself an out, and I'm going to leak things out saying that I always wanted to trade back. I always wanted to wait out the clock until we get four first-round picks or some crazy offer, and then I can be the smart guy, and I don't have to take responsibility for this. And if you want the job of GM, I just don't like that way of doing business. I want him to wear it. I want him to have responsibility for it. And at the end of the day, if it's not his pick, then what are we doing here? Then Jonathan Kraft should pick up the phone and do it. Yeah. If it's really what's happening.
I think he's going to. And so
you think he's going to pick up the phone and call the guy?
I think he's, yeah. Well, he should be the first one to talk to Drake May.
He's like, hold on, Robin.
Drake May.
You get over here too.
Drake May, we're taking you. Here's Robin Glazer.
She smashes the phone with a hammer.
So when it comes to the Patriots, when I say, like, if they want to say, if they just want to leave the door open to take phone calls, that's fine. But they're not just leaving the door open to other teams. They are putting it out there through the media. It's on their front lawn. They're announcing this is what they're doing. And I just wonder why there's that contrast.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's that they don't love Drake May. Maybe it's their way of saying we're not totally sold on this guy. Maybe Elliott Wolf is letting you know it's not his pick. Maybe it's a message to Washington. There's a reason. And I don't think the reason is they're trading the pick.
No.
I don't believe that's the reason, because I don't think ownership will let them.
I don't think so either, but I also wonder, I mean, we've heard that they've gotten offers that they don't like, right? We've heard that they've gotten offers that they thought were laughable or nothing close or whatever. And we talked about this a little yesterday, Jones, but I wonder what the line is. You know, what's the line between an offer being laughable and an offer being worth taking? Because there's got to be a line somewhere.
So you think it's San Francisco?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know what the offers is that they've been given.
What
so
Reese
it's hard
wrote,
to say.
What Reese wrote is they'd want an impact player,
right?
Like Jefferson or Christian Darrisaw. And so I tend to think that's what it is.
Jefferson or Christian Darrisaw.
Curran, yeah.
I'll take Jefferson.
Yeah, me too. Curran said it would take more than the San Francisco trade. Reese said it would include an impact player, something like that. And I don't think they're getting that. And I personally wouldn't do that. Maybe they would. I wouldn't do that anyway. It's part of why I don't think the Giants make a lot of sense. Like, at least a team like Minnesota makes sense. They have multiple picks and someone like Justin Jefferson. I don't really understand the Giants, because all you're getting is a bunch of picks. And I don't need a bunch of picks. I already have the number three pick. I'm taking my guy now.
A bunch of picks and Darius Slayton.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Seriously. You could jump in on the Celtics. Yeah, is he holding out? I forgot about that. You could jump in on the Celtics, Bruins, and the draft conversation tonight. I misspoke, by the way. I thought John Lyons was on after Keith at 10. Keith is going, and I've seen these tweets, stupid me, 6 to midnight.
6 to 10, more like 6 to midnight.
Ow. So that was so stupid of me. How did I not come up with that? So my mistake. It's 6 to midnight with Keith tonight. Mark is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Mark.
Jones, you're killing me, man.
How's that?
The problem is Joe Mazzulla is the problem. If you had Ime Udoka, this team would be playing lights out because he's a defensive-minded coach. They're not closing out on the three-point line at all. You know, you could just see it. They're not contesting. And Porzingis looks like he's just weak out there. I don't know what the problem
is.
Okay,
so you think it's scheme. You don't think it's effort?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely effort.
Okay.
Definitely, absolutely effort.
And, like, if you want to blame Mazzulla for that compared to Udoka, that he would get more out of them effort-wise, fine. Maybe there's a conversation to be had. It's not their scheme. And so when it comes to the Celtics, they lost plenty of bad games with Udoka, too, is the only thing I would push back on there. It's like they had plenty of games where they lacked effort or they got plunked.
Yeah, what'd they do in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, they swept the Nets. But what did they do against Golden State? I mean, they got punked.
Yeah, they got back to the finals, which is more than they've ever done with Missoula.
Fine. Well, they got to game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals with Missoula last year.
Woohoo, they didn't get back to the finals.
Okay, but Mego, if you're going to trash Missoula, but you're going to hold
up
deep playoff runs.
I'm not trashing Missoula.
Well, you're blaming him for the loss
I'm blaming the players, too. I think it's ridiculous to look at what happened last night and the lack of adjustments. And you keep saying scheme. It's not just about scheme or effort. It's about them not even knowing what to do when a switch doesn't work. Like going to the next level of helping on defense.
Yeah.
Like just, you can
defense,
call that urgency.
Defense is almost all effort and almost all,
thing happens like seven times in one half, that's not just about effort. That's like not recognizing and adjusting.
I think it's kind of going, F it. They're going to miss the next one anyway.
You think that they're sitting on their home floor going like, screw it. We don't care.
Is that not what it looked like last night? It's what it looked like to me.
No, I think that's such a cop-out. And I'm not trying to excuse the players. I just think that both sides, the sidelines and the ones on the court, have to wear it. And I'm not going to sit there and go, these guys are so lazy. No coach can get anything out of them. They're always going to show up acting like they're just expecting to win.
I don't think they're lazy.
I think that that's just ridiculous.
I think they're lazy. I think they just looked at it and thought they could beat Miami because they smoked them in game one. And so they throttled back.
I agree with that.
Because I've seen them do that a million times.
I also think that like part of coaching is being able to, at a timeout, go, hey, Bam Adebayo is driving you nuts, Jaylen Brown, by throwing a shoulder and having a moving screen. But guess what? Even when you overcorrect to Tyler Hero, they're shooting it out to somebody else who's draining threes.
Yeah, I just think I've seen this before. They miss shots. They lack effort. And so that carries over to the defensive end. On top of that, they smoked Miami in game one, and they just thought they could show up and they could coast. And I think they threw their hands up and said, Miami will probably miss the next one. They expected.
That's what happened.
Jaylen basically said this after the game, or maybe it was Tatum. I take that back. Maybe it was Tatum.
No, Jaylen was like, I hate my coach.
Yeah, right. Jaylen blamed the coach. Jaylen threw the coach right under the bus.
Spoelstra's awesome. Missoula sucks.
Jaylen doesn't want to take any blame for it. It's all about Missoula. And so, no, I think it was Tatum after the game who's like, well, yeah, I mean, on the scouting report, these are some of the shots we wanted him to take. They just think that he got lucky. Like, listening to the Celtics last night, they just think that he got lucky. They're like, they'll miss him next time.
This is a scouting report. Like, they're sitting there talking about matchups, and I'm sure that's how they look at it. Like, oh, my God, what a perfect matchup for Tatum. He's going to kill him. He gets 2 points, and meanwhile, it goes down the other end. They shoot another three. And they're like, well, this will never happen again. And then it happens again.
Yeah. I think that's effort. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's effort. We'll continue with your feedback here. 617-779-7937. Keith takes over again at 6 o'clock. He's here until midnight, I'm being told. Full draft coverage with Hart and Fitzy along with Chris Schein. Make sure you're tuned in here tonight or on the Odyssey app. Also, is ownership making the pick? Tom Curran has an answer to that. We'll get to it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.